we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
A good Friday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in today. We pray that you're having a great day, and I'm looking forward to all that God has in store for me today. A good report, and we've got to follow up with a doctor later today. So can we continue to appreciate your prayers, and so we want to tell you today about Terese Auto Sales and Repair. 636-4910, 636-4910. If you need help with your car repairs, or perhaps you're in need of a new ride, give them a call over there. They're just south of Dixon on the west side of Clear Lake. They are great, great people. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio broadcast, and let them know that you appreciate people who deal with you in honesty and integrity. So that's how they've dealt with me. So we want to invite you out to our services this weekend. We are going to be celebrating independence, our spiritual independence, July the 3rd. July the 4th is a holiday. I expect there will just be vast numbers of people who are listening. Actually, I don't know how many people listen on holidays, because around our house, if we get an opportunity to catch up on some of the sleep that we miss, we take advantage of that. And so if you are privileged to be able to spend Monday with your family, enjoy them. If you're with around fireworks, please be careful with those. I know that there's a lot of fireworks that go off in our neighborhood. Really drives our dogs nuts and the neighbors' dogs nuts, and people at church, their dogs don't like it. And by the way, I don't think any dog is really that fond of fireworks. And but if you're going to be out with the crowds, be careful there. Put on some good walking shoes, stay cool, stay hydrated, and be sure and be careful around all those fireworks on Monday. So anyway, we invite you to come out, be a part of it. Our Sunday school's at 9:30, church is at 10:30. We do not have a Sunday night service this week, so we want to keep you informed of that. So we're going to take you back to Isaiah, the 22nd chapter today. Isaiah 22. I'm going to go back and start reading at verse number 20, and then we're going to finish up this chapter today. So in verse number 20 of Isaiah chapter 22, it says, "Then it shall be in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. I will clothe him with your robe and strengthen him with your belt. I will commit your responsibility into his hand. He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder, so he shall open and no one shall shut. And he shall shut, and no one shall open. I will fasten him as a peg in a secure place, and he will become a glorious throne to his father's house." I want to read that verse again. "I will fasten him as a peg in a secure place, and he will become a glorious throne to his father's house." Listen to verse number 24. "They will hang on him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the posterity, all vessels of small quantity, from the cups to all the pitchers. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, the peg that is fastened in the secure place will be removed and be cut down and fall, and the burden that was on it will be cut off, for the Lord has spoken." So I want to be completely transparent here, and that was when I first started looking at this passage of Scripture, I was thoroughly confused, because in verse number 23, God says, "I will fasten him as a peg in a secure place," and then just a couple of verses later, he's talking about the peg that is established in a secure place, that it is removed, cut down, and falls, and everything that's hanging on it falls. And so I really wanted to understand, and I just want to share with you that I believe that that's a wise course of action to take. And that is, if you do not understand a particular passage, that you go to the Lord and you study the Word and you say, God, what is it that you're wanting me to see in this particular passage? Now, we've already heard that God had glorious plans for Eliakim. He was going to replace Shebna. He was going to operate in strength. He was going to be responsible. He was going to be a spiritual father to the nation of Israel, or to the nation of Judah. Israel was going to be removed. That he was going to have spiritual authority. We talk about that with he had the key to the house of David, and he shouldered the responsibility to open and shut and shut and open. And that God said, I'm going to position him in a very secure place. And I believe that God wants us to know that when we are in a covenant relationship with him, when we're seeking his face, when we're walking in obedience to his word, that there's no weapon formed against us that can prosper. There are a lot of people that they're extremely insecure in their understanding of their relationship with God. There are some people who are overly confident that because they said a prayer that they can just go out and live like the devil and that everything is going to be okay. I want you to know that happens across many, many church fellowship lines. In fact, there are many surveys that indicate that unbiblical behavior inside the church doesn't differentiate that much from unbiblical behavior outside of the church. It happens to a lesser degree, but it still happens way too frequently. I believe that we can all come to an agreement about that. That means that just because I've said a prayer, it doesn't mean that God has given you permission to begin to live like the devil once again. That's not what it means. I've literally had people tell me, I don't care what God doesn't want me to do. I'm going to go and do what I want, and then I will repent later. That's the wrong way to live. that is an overly confident position on security. I believe that as long as we are seeking his face, as long as we're walking in obedience, as long as he's holding us in his hand and we're not jumping out and rebelling against him, that we are very secure, that there is nothing. In fact, if you turn to Romans chapter 8, I can give you a great deal of confidence about just how secure a grip God has on you. If I can get my pages to operate correctly, Romans chapter 8 says this, for I am, in verse number 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank God for a very secure place. And so if you go to bed every night thinking that you have committed the unpardonable sin and that you just don't know if you're going to heaven, I need to reassure you of the sufficiency of the sacrifice Jesus made for you, of the intent that God wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that was to not blot it out. He wants to empower you to live in a manner that represents a transformed life. I talk about the transformation or transfiguration of the butterfly. It's a metamorphosis. It's the word in the Greek is for transformation and transfiguration. It's the word from which we get metamorphosis, where a butterfly, when it is in its caterpillar stage, is concerned about nothing but eating. It doesn't care about anything else. It just wants to eat. It's completely and totally selfish. It's all about consumption. The transformed butterfly, the metamorphosized butterfly, now lives in a different atmosphere where it was once bound to the ground. Now it can soar in the atmosphere. It has wings. It can fly. And its intent after that is solely on being a life giver and making sure that there are future generations of butterflies to come. And so I want to encourage you that a transformed life looks different. It acts different. By its very nature, it is different than the life before. So God wants us to be different. So here we got this man who is a fastened in place, a very secure place, and God intends on making it very glorious. Verse number 24, and this was the point that I've had to really pay attention to. It says that they will hang on him. All the glory of his father's house, the offspring, the posterity, all vessels of small quantity from the cups to all the pitchers in that day, says the Lord of hosts. And he begins to describe peg failure. So I want you to see, God was the one that fastened him. God was the one that placed him in a secure place. God was the one who wants to make him glorious. And this is the word I want you to focus on. Other people began to hang burdens of responsibility upon him that were different than the responsibilities that God had given to him. The responsibility to be a spiritual father to the nation. That's what he was called to do. And so I want to caution you today against walking around carrying expectations that other people have placed on you that God has not. Listen to what it said that the nation saddled him with, okay? It said, all the glory of his father's house, the offspring, the posterity, all the vessels of small quantity, from the cups to all the pitchers. And so all of the dishes were hanging from him. All of his entire family, you know, you see this the same type of attitude with professional athletes at time, where all of these people that they've known all of their life, that by the time they make it into the major leagues or the NFL or hockey or soccer, and they begin to make a large amount of money, they have so many people that they are supporting, major league ball players, they are supporting so many people that it is an increased burden. You see this with a lot of people who win the lottery. You want to become famous? You win the lottery. You will have more relatives than you know what to do. Listen, if you do not understand how to handle finances before you're rich, you will not remain rich very long. And so the studies that they have done, by the way, I don't encourage playing the lottery. Your chances of that are very slim, and long-term benefit, you would be better off investing your money in a different manner. That's not up for me to identify for you. You need to find that out for yourself. Besides that, it can be very addictive. And a lot of people have been led down the road of ruin because of stuff like that. So you don't want this unnecessary stress resting upon. Everything that you hang on a wall has a certain amount of load that it can carry. We have just installed some new shelves in my office. It was because my desks had become so overwhelmed. I have two desks. I have two half bookcases, and I just have information all over the place. If you knew how much material comes across my desk, and I'm the pastor of a church that only has about 140 different people that come to it throughout a given year on a semi-regular basis, only average about 50 to 60 on Sunday mornings. And if you saw how much material comes through my desk, between sermon preparation and commentaries and concordances and different translations of the Bible and and this article and that article and this course that I teach and other material that I teach, and all of that information just comes on my desk and it ends up just really becoming overwhelming. If you want to know what day scares my office manager more than anything, by the way, I have the best office manager in Brevard County. No, you can't hire her. she keeps everything in order. So, but if you ever want to ask her what scares her, you tell her, oh, Pastor Bob cleaned off his desk while you were away. And that means that a lot of stuff is on my desk that really is information that she has an appropriate place to put. So we decided that we were going to hang shelves in my office to remove some of the cluttered factor so that I would be able to find the things that I need to be able to lay my hands on in very short order. In order to do that, we had to make sure that the load or the burden or the weight of everything that was going to rest on those shelves was going to be able to be sustained by the shelves. And so we had to look for the appropriate bracket. And the guy who was doing that, he said, okay, Pastor, this is the size of bracket that we need in order to be able to support everything that you're wanting to put up there. You see, if we put a load on an individual that they weren't designed to carry, it will destroy them. As a pastor, I want to set people up to succeed and not to fail. And so what happened was everybody saw how glorious Eliakim was and how God was prospering him. And he said, they're going to begin to hang unnecessary burdens, burdens that they should have been carrying, burdens and weight that he was not designed to carry, and he is carrying it all. Listen, if you want less stress in your life, find out what God wants you responsible for and deal with that. Find out what he doesn't want you carrying and get rid of that. See, a lot of times people want to micromanage and control everything. I don't want to do that. I don't want to steal from anyone else the opportunity of the blessing of obedience and anointing that God has for them. Now listen, I've tried to carry loads that weren't mine. What happened was my body began to manifest and said, you are carrying things you weren't designed to carry. I believe that that's one of the things that goes on with our government, is that it's carrying things socially that the church was designed to carry in accordance with meeting the spiritual need. Not just a handout, but an introduction to the source of life that God has for us. And so right now, if you feel overwhelmed, if you feel like you're stressed, and many, many corporations function with their employees carrying as much weight as they can possibly carry, and then if there's someone that gets sick, if there's someone that goes on vacation, everybody else is supposed to just come and carry the additional load, and then, you know, people want to know why are you not getting your work done? Why are you falling behind? It's because the peg wasn't designed to carry that type of load. You were not meant to be in a constant state of distress. You were designed to have an appropriate amount. That peg, the amount of load that peg could sustain would be on its diameter, on its length, on the angle in which it was anchored, the depth with which it was anchored. All of that would go into how much of a load that it could carry. You were designed to carry something. There are people. Listen, I'm not called to carry everybody in the congregation. I am called to disciple, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Most of you do not come to my church. I know that because I didn't see you there last week. Most of you don't come to my church. And, you know, I thank God that he places us exactly where he wants us to be. With that being said, and maybe there are pastors that are listening. If so, I may get an amen from them. They weren't designed to do all of the work of the ministry. There isn't one person in the church that was designed to do all of the work of the ministry. Most studies find that there are 15 to 20% of a congregation that are doing the bulk of the work. If we want to be serious about reaching our nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that number has got to increase dramatically. Sometimes that means that the best way for it to increase is for some of us to be willing to do less. That means that somebody else will step up and do it, and they might do it better. You know what? I am perfectly okay with our worship leader, Heidi Andrike. I am wonderfully okay with the reality that she leads worship better than I do. That doesn't hurt my feelings at all. It thrills me. It doesn't grieve me that my youth pastor is better at youth ministry than I am. It doesn't grieve me that the children's ministry that the children's minister is better at children's ministry than I am. It makes me happy. I rejoice that we have found the place in the body of Christ where they are able to serve with anointing and joy. Okay, so when God has positioned you in a secure place, get ready, because there is some responsibility, some load that you are going to carry. But you also have to guard yourself that other people will hang burdens upon you that God never intended for you to carry. To quote, I believe T.D. Jakes was the first one that I heard to say that you need to develop the gift of saying no. So one of the things that I watch for as a pastor, for the benefit of my congregation, is to strive to make sure that no one person is carrying more than they have to, more than they were designed to. And so we look for ways to give hats to somebody. That's just one of the ways that we refer to it. How many different ministries are you involved in? And so over the next couple of months, we are looking to take steps. Now, here's in one of our last staff meetings, here's what the temptation is. People who are really involved in ministry, if they say, well, this person needs a break, well, I'll pick that up. Well, this person, oh, I'll pick that up too. And pretty soon you've shifted the entire load from Eliakim's peg to someone else's peg, and it's not designed to carry the entire load either. So today, you know, it's Friday, and some of you are going to be spending your day off tomorrow preparing for ministry. I want to say thank you for saying yes to ministry. God has designed you with specific works from before the foundation of the world. You have been crafted specifically for that ministry. Just as Esther was brought to the throne for such a time as this, so you have been brought to Brevard County for such a time as this. God's handcrafted you, he's hand positioned you, and he has securely fastened you. Do the work of the ministry for the glory of God. Also, bring somebody else along with you for the journey to show them how to do the ministry. How you got to where you were. Tell them your story. Tell them your story, your journey. And help them to avoid some of the things that maybe you stumbled on. Maybe you developed a crack and you had to get repaired. you know, it's happened. If you've not been wounded in ministry, I need you to come teach a workshop. You know, the reality is most of us have been wounded and most of us have done wounding. So find somebody that you can share your heart with, and also make a matter of prayer this week. God, is there anything that I'm carrying that maybe I was designed to carry it for a season, but now it's time that somebody else carries this baton? You know, someone said life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And I would say that our spiritual journey is not just a marathon, it's a relay marathon. And we're designed to pass the baton off to someone else at some point in time. And I don't know exactly how they determine in a relay race. I know that the Olympics are coming up and there's going to be relay races. I happen to really like the relay races. I don't know how they determine which person gets the first leg, the second leg, the third leg, or the fourth leg. But I know this, that last person is supposed to be able to run faster than the third person. I do know that they're supposed to finish strong. And so my prayer is not that anybody who I give a ministry to fails. That's the farthest thing in the world I want. You know, a lot of people are so insecure that they don't want anybody to succeed lest they have discovered a better way to do it than we did it. I want to set people up to succeed so that the church goes to a next level. So that's the story of Shebna and Eliakim. Shebna failed. He was making preparation so society would remember how important he was. And God said, nope, not going to get to experience that, but I've got a servant that I have prepared. I'm going to cover them. I'm going to strengthen them. I'm going to give them responsibility. They're going to be a spiritual father. But when people start hanging expectations upon them and burdens upon them that I didn't design to carry, then they will fail. God doesn't want you to fail. He wants you to succeed. Let me close out in prayer today and send you off for a victorious weekend. Father, a lot of us are going to get to experience a long weekend this weekend and enjoy the freedom that you have blessed us with here in America. God, I pray that we would realize that just as Jesus came to set the captives free, we have a responsibility to do our part in the work of the ministry. Equip us, anoint us, position us properly, and let us carry only the load that you have for us. In Jesus' name, God bless you. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away to purify my heart. I don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing. 'Cause what will I have when the world is gone? If it isn't for the love that goes on and on, with my one thing, you're my one.